from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Here we go, hour number three of the Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob and Lonzo with you on a lovely Upstate Wednesday morning. A lot of football going on right now. Got to talk some basketball here. Look at Joel Embiid putting up trays. Noted shooting guard Joel Embiid. D-Book having a night. We're going to talk Team USA basketball. But since we're here, and since we're talking Carolina Panther football, since we're talking Bryce Young, since we're talking Dave Canales, Ian Rapoport was on Good Morning Football yesterday, and Ian Rapoport was asked about the outlook for Bryce Young coming into year number two, a year in which the Panthers went out and got him a legitimate wide receiver number one in Deontay Johnson, a year in which Adam Thielen gets to move back to the three, a year in which the Panthers have put a pair of Pro Bowl caliber offensive guards in front of him, not five wet paper towels, caught offensive linemen last year. Here's what Rapoport had to say, and I'm going to tell you this right now. Irresponsibly, I haven't listened to this clip yet. I'm as excited to hear what Ian Rapoport has to say as obviously you all are. Here's Ian Rapoport when asked about the realistic expectations of Bryce Young coming into year number two.
You thought the same, same exact thing.
I was like, Ian, you okay there, bud? She went, and Lonzo and I both were like, was that a hot mic moment? And more importantly, was that hot mic about 2.5 feet lower than it should have been?
Wow.
It wasn't, though. That was a from the background, not a from the background. Yeah, that was fun. Okay. So, let's address what old Ian Rapoport had to say right there. Number one, do we trust Ian Rapoport as a source? I do. I think Rap's been around long enough and done a good enough job that I trust Rap as an inside guy more than I trust Shefty at this point, and I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, we don't think that Rappaport's getting memos from the league, but we don't know for sure.
That is true. Of course, the best in the world would make sure you don't think that, but Rappo seems like a dude. No, not seems like. Rappo is a dude as far as insiders go. Rappo's a dude I trust. And Rapo said in the middle of that going towards the NFL draft, mostly pretty much consensus that Bryce Young was the number one overall quarterback. Now, is that going to stay true through the careers of Stroud and Young? Maybe, maybe not. I would like to point out that since Lonzo, every time somebody says GOAT about Brady, he says GOAT so far, which it is important to do, sure. I don't think that we can say for certain that they will end their career in that order. You can't say they will. You can't say they won't. We won't know that until they end their careers. But going into the draft, yes, Bryce was considered to be the number one pick, the better option between the two. Put that in the rearview mirror. Let's look at that in hindsight. Because, again, I think that's what we have to do with these conversations. That's why I said in the last segment, forget everything you knew before last season, and let's look at what we know going into this season. What we know now is that the wide receiver core is objectively better this year than it was last year. What we know is that the offensive line is objectively better than it is this season. Just so that I don't sound like I'm blowing a bunch of smoke right now, here is something else I'll objectively say. We do not know that the running game is going to be better this year, despite the fact that we do all agree that the Panthers should, at least early in the season, lean on the run game early. That is one of the few things that Lonzo and I have agreed on so far. This team needs to run the ball. Dave Canales, as we played you some audio yesterday, Dave Canales said, Chuba Hubbard looks great at running back right now. He's running angry right now. And that's all well and good. I think a lot of players in Carolina are probably angry after last year.
You want Bryce Young to look better? Run the ball.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Take the pressure off of him. Put it on the guys that this team has classically been a running team, and people have tried to change it, and they always end up going back to it. Just stick with the running game.
I don't disagree. Got to be able to run the ball. I don't know that the running back field as a whole, as a unit, is better this year than it was last year. Miles Sanders was never the guy Carolina paid him to be, which is why I think in week one, Chuba Hubbard will be RB1 for this team, and Miles Sanders will be the spellback as opposed to what it was the other way around last year. And that's a problem. Because if we agree, and so far, like I said, this might be the only thing Zoe and I have agreed on so far. If the running back field's not better this year and they cannot definitively lean on the run game, then Bryce Young is back in a world of hurt. Does not matter how good your wide receiver core is. If I only need to put four across the line against you to take it away, if I don't have to commit extra linebackers against your run game and I can drop two into coverage instead of just one, if I can drop three into coverage because my defensive line's doing a good enough job to stop your run game on their own, then nothing else matters. That's going to be another spot, as I believed happened last year, where the inability of everybody else drags your quarterback backwards. I want a quarterback who can drag everybody else forward, but they got to give them something. You got to give me something. Lonzo dragged us to three SCBA Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year awards over the past 4 years. But I got to give him something to work with here. If I come on here every day and go,
Carolina Panthers, Bryce Young's going to come in this year, be a good quarterback, and I think everything's going to be super good for Carolina this year.
We ain't got a damn trophy within a mile.
I could say something really smart alecky right now. Nothing to do with you, but I'll say it later. Off the air.
I think everybody knows where you're going. I don't think that was thinly veiled at all. But you get what I'm saying here, all right? You get what I'm saying. So, you got to give the guy something. And no. I don't think he had anything last year. I think he had Adam Thielen last year. That's what he had, Adam Thielen. And that was pretty much it. So, somebody asked when we had this a similar conversation like a week ago. Actually, I'll tell you when it was. Somebody asked when we had this conversation last Thursday when the Real Diesel and I were live at Panther Fan Fest down at Clemson. Said if you could compare a trajectory that you expect Bryce Young to follow if you had another quarterback's career or season trajectory that you think we could follow and go, okay, if he meets these metrics, we feel pretty good, who would it be? And my answer was Jordan Love last year. Last year. Because let's go back. I think a lot of people look at Jordan Love, as you should, because Jordan Love, by the end of the season, Jordan Love looked real good. Jordan Love went down to the Big D, and I do mean Dallas, and he knocked off Dak and the boys in a playoff game. And I think everybody got wrapped up in that because Jordan Love looked pretty good. Go back to the beginning of the season last year. At the beginning of the season last year, Jordan Love was, shaky at best. Like, 2-3 games into the season last year, people were like, uh-oh, the Packers are screwed. Because this guy didn't develop at all. Didn't learn a damn thing before they got rid of Aaron Rodgers. And it took him a little while to get going. And then by the end of the year, folks were going, maybe this Jordan Love guy's got a little substance to him, right? I feel like that, but over a 2-season span for Bryce Young. Now, that's not to say, you know, Bryce Young's bringing this Carolina team to a playoff game in year number two. Because, again, I think there's still a long way to develop this roster. I think they're still going to have to go find some more pieces. But I think over a 2-year span, I think the trajectory will end up looking very similar. That is a cat that out of the gate, we all look and go, yeah, did he really learn anything? Like, did he develop? What has he done that you can say, okay, he's very clearly better now? And the answer is, I don't know, to a cat that, with a couple of Pro Bowl guards, with a better wide receiver core, question mark about the run game. I'm sticking on that. But with all of that being said, did this guy develop? And I think the answer can be yes. The Packers were a more talented team last year. The Packers are a more talented team this year. The Packers had more around Jordan Love, but you could watch the trajectory go upwards of Jordan Love. And the difference was Jordan Love had a couple of seasons to sit behind Aaron Rodgers. He had a couple of seasons to learn the NFL. And this is something I've said for many years. You are not just talking about learning the season on the field. I'm talking about learning off the field. Travel is different in the NFL. Media is different in the NFL. Your life as a whole is different in the NFL. And for guys like a Caleb Williams, they are getting thrown into that mix real quick. Like real quick. And a lot of guys don't learn. That's why so many quarterbacks flame out. Despite high expectations. And I think it's more true about Carolina. Again, not saying what we knew going into last year, but what we know coming out of it. A lot of these cats get thrown into those expectations on crap football teams, on bad teams. And the expectation is, oh, we got a top-notch quarterback. We're good now. No! Nobody's arguing it's not a quarterback-driven league. Of course it is. It is absolutely a quarterback-driven league. There's no doubt. It is absolutely a league that if you don't have a top-notch quarterback, you can't win. Do I hate that? Yes. Do I wish that we would revert back to being a league where you could just be good with a good quarterback instead of being good with a great quarterback and only good with a great quarterback? Of course I do. But that ain't where we are. So looking back now at last year versus this year, what do we know about last year's team? We know Miles Sanders was overpaid and overrated, respectfully. We know Chuba Hubbard never, and this is why I'm concerned, because we all, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, we all agree Miles Sanders was overrated and overpaid. Does anybody fight against that?
Let's see what he does behind a better offensive line.
And that's fair. Yeah. That's fair, just like Bryce Young. That ain't wrong. But for last year, Miles Sanders never broke out. You'd like to think he would to help. He didn't.
He was brought in as a starter, and he was overshadowed by Chuba Hubbard, for sure. But new coaching staff. Hopefully they're given the go-ahead to evaluate players in practice and not because they were brought in for something. And we'll see who wins out. But yay! it's probably gonna be Chuba Hubbard.
Common ground. I love it. It's important to find common ground.
Okay. You're forcing me to participate when you knew I wasn't going to.
I have more questions. Stay tuned. So, knowing what we know last year, you had a run game that didn't work. Miles Sanders was at least for last year, overpaid, overrated. Chuba Hubbard, and this is what I said I'm nervous about, even with Miles Sanders being overpaid and overrated, if we all agree he was last year, and I think we do, Chuba Hubbard never really took that spot from him. He never really broke out in a way that you went, okay, that's RB1 now. He took that spot. I look at last year to this year, and I think, okay, you've added two guards. You've added a number one wide receiver, which allows you to move your number one wide receiver to his number three wide receiver spot. You've got a number two wide receiver that I hope breaks out, although I do have to point out, as we head towards preseason game number one tomorrow, Xavier Leggett is number four on the wide receiver depth chart right now. He has not broken into the top three, right? So that's, I'm a little concerned about that. I still don't think we can argue the wide receiver group isn't better this year.
He was a late bloomer in South Carolina. It may take him a while to get it in the NFL.
It's absolutely true. Absolutely true. So, I'm so worried about Carolina's defense. We'll talk about that later. Except Derek Brown, who is a machine. The point here is, the expectations last year on this kid, as they were for Trevor Lawrence down in Jacksonville, are for him to immediately take a crap team and make them a playoff team. And I don't think that was fair. I don't think it was fair for him last year. I don't think it's fair for Caleb Williams this year. Some guys succeed despite it. Some guys fail in spite of it. So we'll see how it plays out. All right, we'll get away from the NFL. We'll talk some NBA basketball, some Team USA basketball coming up. Hey, Nats Mario in about 40 minutes, all on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Talk some Team USA basketball. We got Hayton Ask Mario coming up here in about half an hour from right now. Taking a look at the NFC and AFC South today on the show. But let's jump in on some Team USA shooty hoops this morning. As the men's team yesterday had a big win over Brasilia. 122-87 was your final in the quarterfinal victory. The American men on to the semifinals. One more win will put them in the gold medal game. They do get Nikola Jokic in Serbia for a second time, a team that they allowed to hang around a little bit longer than I would have liked in the opening game of this tournament, but it also was the opening game of the tournament. And, you know, even though you had the warm-up games, the tune-up games, it's a different environment. It's a different feel when the result of the game matters. So we'll see if they allow Serbia to hang around. Again, Nikola Jokic is arguably the best basketball player on planet Earth right now. And so I do think that Nikola Jokic in and of himself, Bogdanovic on that team as well, pretty good player overall. Them staying close is not the end of the world. The Americans allowing it to stay close till the fourth quarter would be my biggest concern, because you do still have the other two best teams, the French and the Canadians, out there hanging around as well. By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. There's a guy skating for South Africa right now by the name of Dallas Oberholzer. I think I said his name correctly. And I'm going to say that this dude looks like, and I mean this in the most respectful way, the love child of Kevin Green and Lonzo.
That's a much better run. His second run, I mean, he didn't bail for a while.
So
he's not getting any hype, but I mean, you know.
This cat, when I say Lonzo, so that I'm not accused of being biased, how old's that guy? All the other skaters in this freestyle skate competition are in their like late teens, early 20s. How old is Dallas?
I'm going to go 47.
I'm going to go, you're being generous. All right? I'm saying this cat's in his early 50s. All right? Here, I'll even give that guy a look.
No, I was trying to see how to spell his name. You don't need to do that.
Dallas Oberholzer. This dude's in his early 50s. All right? This dude just balled out. By balled out, I mean never left the board, was just skating in circles around the pool, and I respect him immensely. This dude saw his chance to say, I competed in the Olympics, and said, YOLO, I'm going for it. I respect this guy immensely, all right? The love child of lean, mean Kevin Green and Lonzo representing South Africa, despite the fact that he looks like he learned how to skateboard last month. Spectacular. I love it. All right, let's go back to Team USA basketball.
He is 49 years old.
Okay.
I said 47.
You did.
So yeah.
I said early 50s. We're going to split the difference. We're both right. We're both right. And I'm good with that.
Okay.
All right. Team USA basketball. Listen, balanced attack yesterday. Balanced attack. Steph Curry's not been the dude you wanted Steph Curry to be. 7 points on 2 of 3 from the floor. 0 of 1 from Trey. 3 for 3 from the stripe. 1 rebound. 0 assists. 0 steals. Steph Curry's a liability in this tournament. I don't love it. I'm a Steph Curry guy. I want Steph Curry to have an Olympic legacy, especially considering how important he said this tournament and these Olympic Games were to him. But even with Steve Kerr as the HC, Steph Curry's been a bit of a liability here. LeBron James, 12 points on 5 of 6 from the floor, but 9 assists, 3 steals, and 3 boards to go along with it as well. This is a legacy game for LeBron James. Kevin Durant came off the bench, 11 points on 4 of 8 from the floor, 0 of 2 from deep, had 4 boards, 3 assists as well. And on top of that, a moment in which he became the highest Olympic scoring basketball player of all time in this game. This is a legacy Olympics for Kevin Durant as well. 13 out of Anthony Davis, 17 out of Anthony Edwards, who has been getting hotter and hotter as this tournament has progressed in Paris, France. I like the balance that we've seen out of Team USA basketball. I like the fact that Steve Kerr has gone with a number of different lineups. We all remember, go back to game number 1. against Serbia, where Jason Tatum did not play. Tatum didn't have a great game. 5 points on 1 of 5 from the field, 3 of 4 from the stripe. 3 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal. Go back to game one when Jason Tatum didn't play. And, like, Team USA basketball fans and the media exploded. They're like, oh, this dude won a title. How's he not playing? This dude won a title. How are you not putting him into the starting five? How's he not getting PT off the bench? And Kerr came out and said, look, man, I felt like an idiot not playing the guy. But on the flip side, we're going matchups here. And I think that proved itself true yesterday, because the Brazilians, one of the taller but slower teams that were still active going into the quarterfinals. So what did Steve Kerr do? He went with a guard-heavy rotation. Started with Booker, Holiday, and Curry all on the floor together. 17 minutes out of Holiday, 17 minutes out of Curry, 15 minutes out of D-Book. Came heavy off the bench with Tatum, 20. 21 minutes for Durant. And 21 minutes for Ant Edwards. Steve Kerr is playing matchups. And I got to tell you, I think he's playing matchups effectively. Like, I wasn't ready to cook Steve Kerr after game one for not playing Tatum. A lot of people were. But he said it's a matchup thing, and I think not only has he stayed true to that, I think he was very honest about that, and I think it's been proven correct at this point. But I appreciate the balance we're seeing out of this team. I appreciate the fact that there's not really any one style that we're leaning into, even if it's going wrong. And again, I do wonder what that looks like with Nikola Jokic in Serbia, who have already seen Team USA. Is it the same lineup? Are we going to see no Jason Tatum against Serbia this time around? I don't know. You went guard heavy against a tall team. Do you flip it around and against a team that's got a big man? Go with Joel Embiid as a starter again, 5 of 6 for 14 points in the last game. And rotate a heavy power forward setup, as I think Team USA kind of did in game one. I don't know. But what I like about this team is, and the concern was, how do you manage the egos? And I think Steve Kerr has done a pretty good job of that so far. I'm happy with what we've seen. Now I need to see it one more time. One more time against Serbia. Texas said the Canadians are out of Team USA. They place France or Germany. That's right. That's my bad. Which is fine. Again, 3 of the strongest teams left alongside Team USA. So we'll talk more basketball as the semifinal matchup against Serbia is on Thursday. When we come back here in just a minute, let's talk more football. We're 17 days away from college football at this point. So we started going with with Fox Sports best bets in the NFC. Let's finish those up as well as look at the AFC when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Talk some college football earlier in the show. Let's talk some more NFL now. We went through some of Fox Sports' favorite bets in the NFC. I wanted to get to their last NFC favorite bets here because they have 3 in the NFC South, all within the division. Hayden S. Mario from the BetQL Network joining us in the next segment. We will do a quick preview of the NFC and AFC South with Mario coming up next. So let's look at these here. Let's start with this one. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What a Fox Sports' favorite bets for the Bucs? Under 7.5 wins. Their write-up says, quote, last year was a little bit of smoke and mirrors deal where they just kind of found themselves in the right place at the right time. Baker Mayfield had a fantastic year, but I think there's certainly a team that is due to regress. I'll go first on this one. Great one. I agree entirely. I think Tampa Bay takes a massive step back. I think that, and again, maybe this is my optimistic side. As we all know that I am the most optimistic person in America. I think my optimistic side is, and I think there's evidence for it, crediting Dave Canales for what happened in Seattle 2 years ago, what happened in Tampa Bay last year. And I think without him, there is a bit of a regression here. I think they've got a good quarterback. I love Bake. We've said that a bunch of times. Do I think he's great? No, I think he's good. I think he's good enough. And a great wide receiver core. But I think the defense is aged. I think outside of that, I don't trust the run game this year for Tampa. And I think they did indeed last year benefit from playing inside of a bad division. I think the division is better, primarily because Atlanta and Carolina is better. I think you can take a couple of wins off the Bucs record from last year. Because of that, I will absolutely go Tampa under 7.5 wins.
I'm not going to do that because they've been able to win the division the last couple of years. I don't see them dropping off that much. I don't think the NFC South has improved that much. We're going to see what Kirk Cousins does in Atlanta. I mean, that's the addition. That's in all of the NFC South, that's the addition that people are talking about. Kirk Cousins made me like him after the quarterback documentary, but he's still Kirk Cousins. He's consistent. They probably will win, but I don't know that they blow everyone away. And I think Baker Mayfield, did he get help from the coach? Yes, but I think he showed his capabilities that you and I both have believed in him from the beginning. And I just don't think they drop off that much. I think they stay about the same.
7.5 wins is a drop off of 2 games from last year. I don't think that that's like falling off a cliff. I think that's just losing Canales and two teams in the division being better. I think 2 games is realistic.
I'm just going to say that drop off is, and you still can win the South.
I mean, you're not wrong, though I don't think that's what happens. Directly connected to another NFC South bet that Fox Sports is leaning on, Atlanta under 9.5 wins. Right up there being, there's so much buzz with Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix Jr. When you have one of the worst defenses in the league, they like to say they're fading trending teams, and they say that they're just going to fade a trend here. I would like to point out kind of the opposite of Tampa Bay. This team won 7 games last year, 7-10, with Desmond Ridder. Now, I know I've busted up Kirk Cousins because Kirk Cousins is 72 years old in football years with an Achilles that we don't know if it is going to be fully recovered when the regular season kicks off. I need 3 more wins out of Atlanta. Yes, I know a lot of you were upset about the Michael Penix Jr. pick. Cool. Okay, fine. I know the defense was bad last year. I'm not arguing it's going to be a ton better this year. I'm saying this team is finally going to get the most out of a good set of skill position players around their quarterback. And I need Kirk Cousins to be like 80% of what he was before his injury last year. 80% gets him to 10 wins. I'm going to take the over 9.5 for the Atlanta Falcons this year.
I got to go under. I think it will be right at 9.
So that would put him on the under. And finally, and this is the one I know we're going to have the longest conversation about. No, I'm going to one that I know we're going to.
No, I'm saying I said that, and then you didn't. Anyway.
Carolina Panthers over 5.5 wins. Now, Rob Brown snagged that bet when it was at 4.5, and I told you if you were the type of person to drive up to North Carolina and make those bets while you were up there, do the same thing. I grabbed them at 4.5, and I told you then it was going up. I thought it would because the numbers were already skewed with the juice to the over 4.5. It is now at over 5.5. Fox Sports says, like them to win 7 or 8 games this year. It's an easier division. Bryce Young, we don't need him to be all world. Just be average. Deontay Johnson is going to catch 120 passes. There's really good parts on their defense. They've got a good defensive staff. I'm over. I'm taking the over. This team's winning 6 games this year. Will they get to 7, 8? I don't know about that. They will win 6 this year. Of the 3 bets across the South, Carolina over 5.5 is my most confident pick.
Well, earlier, I think was it Monday when we did our Panther picks? We both went over that, so I definitely have to go over. And I was a game, I had at least 1 game more than you did them winning. So yeah, for sure.
Here's another part of the reason why. We obviously have been leaning very heavy on the offense this year. The changes in the offense under Dave Canales, Bryce Young becoming the guy, yada, yada, yada. We haven't even talked about the defense behind Derrick Brown, who is turned into one of the better edge rushers, defensive end, almost can be kind of a utilitarian defensive lineman. Shaq Thompson back. Think he's got the opportunity to have a big year this year. Jadeveon Clowney, from what we understand, has been killing folks. Now, again, there is no drug on planet Earth that can get you higher than workout warrior training camp film. But Jadeveon Clowney has looked like a guy that's trying to earn a couple more years of contract. The only question is the health of the defensive backs. Can J.C. Horn, Xavier Woods, can these guys stay consistent and stay healthy throughout the course of the year? If the answer is yes, and again, don't have any reason to think that it is, but if the answer is yes to those questions, the defense for Carolina can be more than good enough. If they can, I really do believe, if they can keep teams under 3 touchdowns a game, like keep them to 17, 20, 21 points a game, they can get to 6. Do I think the offense is going to be better? Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely do. I've got no reason to think that they don't. The offensive line, well, I'm not going to say is fixed, I think did work on the biggest issues, the guards. The wide receiver core, we've gone over this 1,000 times. They got a legitimate wide receiver 1. It allows them to move a true wide receiver 3 to that spot. Now they've got to figure out who's wide receiver 2. Who's that middle depth wide receiver? And they've got options. Jonathan Mingo, TMJ, Xavier Leggett. I just need one of those 3 guys to break out. I need one of those 3 guys to reach their expectations. And the wide receiver core gives themselves a legitimate chance to be very good. So there's not much not to like offensively between A'shaun Robinson, Shai Tuttle, and Derrick Brown. I need one Pro Bowler. I think Derrick Brown is that guy. Shai Tuttle's a guy that's been in the league for a while now. He's serviceable. He's good enough. I don't know what A'shaun Robinson does this year with a little more help behind him. We'll find out. 29 years of age, been in the league a minute. Can he be the opposite side that allows Jadeveon Clowney to kind of float around a little bit? To me, the answer is yes. So, I've gone back and forth on this. If Carolina played in the, well, really any other division, I might be a little bit more hesitant here. But I think the Saints are going to suck this year, if I'm keeping it a buck. I've already said I think Tampa's taking a drop back. I'm taking them under 7.5 wins. I think Atlanta's better. That's not 12-5 better. That's like 9 wins better, 10 wins better, right? Like a 10-7, maybe 11-6 year because they're in the South as well. But I think Carolina is better. I don't think they're doing any worse than split 3-3 in the division. Which means that if they do, I need 3 wins elsewhere. Again, it's going to be all about how do they start, not how do they finish. But I think if they start well, that over 5.5 is a lot. Joey B said, if you told me Carolina won't win a division game, I'd believe you because the gap between them and everyone else is just that large. I'm under on Carolina. That O-line still scares me away. I appreciate your overestimation of the New Orleans Saints. Again, that team is going to stink this year because for whatever reason, we've hitched our wagon to friggin' Dennis Allen. Cool. Cool. And I think Tampa Bay's taking a step back.
That's unless Spencer Rattler becomes the starting quarterback.
Oh, Dennis Allen will find a way to ruin that too. You could give me Tom Brady in his prime and Dennis Allen will find a way to ruin it. My man has never had a 500 season. He's lost every season he's been a head coach. I think that's correct. I don't know what to think there. I don't think they'll be winless in the division. I'm giving them 500 in the division. I just need 6. You're telling me this team is not four wins better than last year with all the changes they've made? Yeah, I can't be there. Let's see. Max said, Falcons fan here. I don't trust Kirk Cousins. I hope he stays healthy. If not, I'm looking for Penix to get a shot early. Yeah, listen, it's all about the Achilles. But like I've said a couple of times, I think when you look at the Falcons' skill position depth chart, right, I think you have built up an immense wealth of talent, and now it's just a matter of who unlocks it. Bijan Robinson is a dude at running back. He proved that his rookie year. Drake London has probably been one of the most underutilized, underappreciated wide receivers out there. Kyle Pitts should be a monster. Kyle Pitts should be in the, I mean this, should be in the discussion with Travis Kelce, George Kittle. He should be in that discussion. He just hasn't been because Atlanta, Kirk Cousins can utilize a tight end. We've seen it happen a lot of times. Kyle Pitts right now, by the way, if you're a fantasy guy, Kyle Pitts is a must-add to your team if you can get him. So we'll see. Question mark for me, offensive line and defense. Did they get good enough? Atlanta on the over, Carolina on the over, Tampa on the under, New Orleans on the under. That's how I'm splitting that up. All right. Texas said, don't do that, man. The Saints went 9-8 last year and only got better. I'm glad you have any level of faith in that team. I have none at all. Just none. They didn't. How would you? In what world did they get better? And on top of that, the injuries already rampaging in training camp.
No one hates their team more than Rob does. I mean, give your own team a little credit, dude. I mean, come on.
Correct. My team stinks. If I ever see my head coach in person, on site, get that smoke. Hey, speaking of smoke. Hayden asked Mario up in the next segment. We will talk about the NFC South and the AFC South when we come back here in a minute. Before we get there, the divisional champion of Sports Flash is Lonzo.
Three time. The Atlanta Braves have begun a backslide. Getting hammered by Milwaukee 10-0 at home. Bryce Elder was knocked around for 8 hits and 7 earned runs in just 3.2 innings, while Atlanta surrendered 16 total hits in the game. The Braves' offense mustered just 6 hits overall. That's bad, by the way. Atlanta is 60-52 now, just 6.5 games back of Philly. The U.S. women's soccer team took extra time to move past Germany 1-0 in the semifinals yesterday, locking down their spot in the gold medal match. Sophia Smith knocked down the Americans' 11th goal of the tournament to secure the win, the second consecutive extra time victory for the U.S. women. Hey, make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new, yeah, it's still brand new for like 3 years, local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, and you guessed it, it's all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.